Today's scripture is from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
So the last few weeks we've been looking at the book of James, and here in this closing chapter, towards the end of this chapter, he says, if you're going through tough times, pray. If you're going through really good times, pray. If someone else is going through tough times, pray. Pray as a group, pray individually, and that the prayers of a righteous person are effective. So it's really that simple, right? That we pray, and it works. And we pray in good times, we pray in bad times, we pray individually, we pray together. Now, that sounds really simple, but it tends to be a struggle for a lot of people. Most surveys in the world, in fact, all the surveys I've ever seen and never know of, show that Christians generally don't pray. And even when they do, a lot of Christians feel very frustrated by this, and they wonder if they're doing it right, and they have a lot of insecurities about this. And yes, James just puts it out there very directly, as James tends to write, just do it. Just pray. Good times, bad times, together, separately, just pray. So I want you to try something today. I want you to imagine something. And some of you are good, you have wild imaginations. You're very good at this. Other people aren't as good at imagining, but just do the best you can. And I really want you to try this. Imagine that you are right now in heaven, however you imagine that. However you imagine yourself being in heaven, that this life has come to an end and we are now in heaven. And we are in the very presence of God, however we might imagine God. And our minds can't quite wrap our, we can't wrap our minds around heaven and God completely, but we'll do the best we can. We imagine being in the very presence of God. And the Bible tells us that God is love. And imagine just feeling that you are completely and totally loved without hesitation and without hindrance, completely in the presence of love. And in the presence of God, God is so big, God is so powerful, God is so awesome in every possible way. We feel very, very small and fragile. And we have to give up all of our putting on of how tough we are, how smart we are. In the presence of God, we are just so, so small and so fragile and so flawed. And yet, in this presence of perfect love, we are completely forgiven. That there is no act that we could commit that God cannot forgive, that God cannot restore and bring redemption. And so while we feel very tiny and very flawed and very fragile, we also have the sense of being built up, that we are accepted and we are adored and we are gifted by the very presence of God in us. And we stand there in the presence of pure, unhindered love that builds us up regardless of how fragile and how flawed we are. And we just experience that. That's the experience God wants us to have with Him every single day, every moment, that we experience unhindered love, acceptance, forgiveness, that we see how small and fragile and flawed we are, and yet we are built up in His grace. That's the experience God wants us to have with God every moment. And that's why we are called to be a people of prayer. Not so we can just jump through some imaginary hoop or meet some standard, but because God wants us to experience the divine. God wants us to have those divine moments in every single part of our life, that we would always experience that. That is not intended to just be a description of heaven. It's intended to be a description of our life with God, that we carve out moments of just that. That's why Jesus gave a few instructions that we read earlier in the service out of Matthew 6. Can you imagine being in the presence of God and the love and the forgiveness and the acceptance and the grace that God brings to us? And yes, we see our flaws in the midst of His holiness, but we see His forgiveness and grace at the same time. Can you imagine experiencing all of that? And then going over to the window and raising it up and yelling out the window, God, it's so great to be in your presence here today because I'm in the presence of God. Hey, I'm in the presence of God now, and I just want everyone to know that I experience God because I'm here in the presence of God. Wouldn't that be absurd that we would pray for other people to hear it? That in that moment of grace that we would want to show off for other people? That's what Jesus says. Don't do that. He says, don't pray for other people. I'm not so sure that's a problem today. In those days, certain religious figures would stand out on the street corner and just go on, just to show off for other people. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't stand up and try to pray for other people or pray for the sake of other people to hear you. You're in the presence of God. There's no reason to be yelling for other folks to hear about you. This is about the presence of God. And he also says, you know, don't be spouting off a bunch of words, all this stuff that you think you're going to impress God with all your words. He says, don't worry about that. God already knows what you're trying to say. This is about being in the presence. This is not about showing off for somebody else and meeting some sort of religious standard that other people are impressed with. It's not about saying the right stuff. I often hear people say, well, I just don't know what to say. Well, that's actually a really good start, because then you can get out of your own way. Jesus says it's not about what you say. God already knows what you have on your heart. No, there's nothing wrong with saying whatever you want to say. Say it to God however you want to. There's no specific requirement. I've seen people before that they would be talking just in a very normal conversation. They would, you know, have a normal speaking voice and have whatever accent that they might have for the region that they come from of the world. And then if they're in church and they are asked to pray out loud, they transform themselves into something else. There's an old comedian called Grady Nutt was his name. And he talks about having a person in church that called upon to pray. And he said the man reached and grabbed the pew in front of him and just launched himself into prayer. And, oh God, we thank you. And all these things that people just do because they think they're supposed to. And Jesus says, stop. Just be in the presence of God. You don't have to say the King James English. If that comes natural to you, then by all means, say the King James English. If that's not your normal talk, that your normal tone, then don't do that. Just be in the presence of God. What would your day be like if every day you made sure there was some time that you imagined being in the presence of God and that you let yourself feel loved? You let yourself be forgiven and feel that forgiveness. You let yourself experience the grace of God. You saw yourself as that flawed, fragile person, not building yourself up in sort of false ego, but just seeing yourself and how fragile we are, how flawed we are in the holiness before the holiness of God, and yet filled with His grace, completely adored and accepted by Him. Would your day be any different if that's how you lived? If you took 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever amount of time, maybe more, and just experience that. And let that just flow over you. To experience the divine every single day. See, a lot of folks go through their entire day and never experience that. And that's just sad. That we are purely loved and totally forgiven and adored in every way. That we are God's adored children. And yes, he wants to point out our flaws, but not to condemn us, but to help us be better through his grace. He wants us to see our flaws in order to get past those flaws and be better. One of the things I've often said is God loves us exactly as we are right now. But he loves us too much to leave us like we are right now. He has better for us. It doesn't mean we have to jump through hoops to get to God. God accepts us exactly as we are, but he has a better idea. He has other things for us. If we could experience a little bit of that every single day, I think the day would be different for a lot of people. How many times do we go through our day and we really don't feel loved at all? We go through our day, we go to work, we go to school, we go wherever we go, and people are just mean sometimes, aren't they? People are just hostile. Not everybody, but some days it feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like everybody you meet is in a bad mood. Some days everybody you meet seems to have something negative to say. Sometimes you watch the news and you wonder, how is the world even going to be held together? All of these things, we go through an entire day and we don't feel loved. We don't feel accepted. We feel put down by people. We feel criticized. That's a lot to go through every single day without a break. Because that's what the world does to us. Now, again, there's some really good people and there's some blessings along the way. But there are days, aren't there, where there's a lot of negativity. There's some good news in the world, but sometimes it's hard to find it on the actual news. There's some good things that happen, but sometimes we overlook those because it seems like the problems are just right in our face, isn't it? And somebody can compliment you 20 times, but if one person criticizes you, isn't that what we remember? We go through our day and we remember that one person that said that nasty thing to us. Sometimes we get to the end of our day and we've gone through criticism, we've gone through hardship, and we've gone through negativity, and man, that just weighs us down. And maybe that's why James and a number of other biblical writers say, you know what? You need to pray. And you need to pray in good times and to celebrate that and praise God for that. And you need to pray in difficult times and depend on God for that. And you need to pray in groups together as a church. And you need to pray individually. And these things are effective. Now, he says the prayers of a righteous man are effective. Got to be careful about what that means. Because sometimes we get frustrated because the Bible says they are effective, these prayers are effective, and we think then that if I pray and I pray the right way, I'm going to get what I want. What I want and what is effective are not necessarily the same thing. Okay. I like what I want. I like having my own way. I want God to agree with me. I want to tell God what I want, and I want God to give me that. I don't say it out loud like that. I have a lot better religious language that I can put that in, but that's the way I feel. I want God to give me what I want, and when I pray for something that I want God to agree with me and to give it to me. The problem is I am not necessarily effective at life. I've got a great resume of messing up things. We just do that, don't we? If we just look at the decisions we've made, some of them have been pretty good, some of them not so much. We tend to mess things up. We tend to make a lot of mistakes. We can't see around the next corner. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We might have plans this afternoon, but how often has that worked out? There are just twists and turns to life. James tells us that our prayers as followers of Jesus are effective. They change things. They affect things. They make a difference in life. That doesn't mean we get what we want. It means we get what is right. That means that it changes us. It affects things. And it may not change the circumstances at all. Jesus didn't necessarily change a lot of circumstances. No, he did some. He worked some incredible miracles. But not everyone got what they wanted. When Jesus healed certain people, there was others that went unhealed. Remember the woman who had, the Bible says, the issue of blood, and she came through the crowd, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were perplexed by that because there was a huge crowd, and everyone was bumping into him, and people are jostling around, and there was lots of people probably patting him on the back and trying to shake his hand and all these type of things because they were just adoring Jesus. How many were healed versus how many touched him? There were a lot of people touched Jesus that day. There was only one that was healed. And sometimes we don't get everything we want. We just bump into Jesus, and we have Jesus around our life, and we have the idea of religion in our life, but we're just kind of bumping into Jesus, and not much is happening. And we think, well, why bother? But if we had just a touch, it affects things. When we touch Jesus in that manner of, I just need to get through all the crowd of life and just touch the divine, it affects things. If I can get through all the jostling and all the busyness and all the stuff and all the noise and just touch the hem of his garment, it's effective. I don't get to necessarily define what effective means because I don't have the foresight into the future to even know what that means. I don't always know what is best for me. I don't know what God will call me to tomorrow. But I can trust that if I can just touch the divine, it has an effect. What kind of church would we be? What kind of followers of Jesus would we be if we dedicated ourselves to that? That whatever the schedule is, whatever the jostling there is, whatever the stuff there is, we find a way to have just a few minutes where we experience the divine. The disciples asked Jesus, "So how do we pray?" And he taught them the prayer that we continue to pray and we practice in this church. We will in just a little while, called the Lord's Prayer. And you remember this one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. If there is one line in any prayer that is the key, I think it's that one. He goes on from there to list the needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. All these things that we need in our life. But he starts out on earth as it is in heaven. This is how we pray. We bring heaven and earth together. The human and the divine come together on earth as it is in heaven. This is not just a ritual we go through. This is not just words that we spout off. It's not showing off. It's not so we can tell everybody that we pray every day. It's not to somehow get God to like us. That's already done. He already likes us. All of these things that we have in our minds distract us from the real purpose. The idea is that we get into a place where it is on earth as it is in heaven. All that stuff that we were imagining, being in the presence of God, experiencing God's love, experiencing his forgiveness, experiencing our own tiny, flawed nature and yet built up beyond what we could ever be because of his grace. We experience that on earth as we do in heaven. We're not waiting for that to happen. We can experience that every day. We have that through the Holy Spirit, the presence of God that is with us, that we have an opportunity to experience on earth as it is in heaven. It is just sad that so many Christians are just making their way barely through life. Just so going through such difficulty, inch by inch, just crawling through life, hoping that someday I can get to heaven and it'll be okay. That was never meant to be the Christian life. Yes, life is hard. It was hard for Jesus. It was hard for the disciples. It was hard for the Apostle Paul. Nobody's claiming that life is easy, but we have the opportunity to experience on earth as it is in heaven. Because of the Holy Spirit, the presence with us, the very presence of God, whatever we're going through, we can make our way through the crowd, and like that woman, we can just touch the divine, and that has an effect. That we can make our way through all the negativity of the world, but there are those moments where we are purely loved and accepted, regardless of what we have done. God never looks at us or looks at our life and says, well, I don't know what to do with that. Never. He always looks at us and says, I know exactly what to do. Not only do I know how to forgive you and love you, but I know how to make you better. I know how to get you to a better place, no matter what we have done. God loves us more than that. He likes us. He adores us. And we get to be in that very presence. It is just sad that some people are waiting to die, hoping they'll experience that, when we are called to experience that right now as the pattern of our life, as the pattern of our faith. Sometimes the pattern of our faith is we go to church every Sunday. That's a good thing. We like that. But that's not the pattern of faith. Sometimes the pattern of our faith is to pray to God when we're in trouble. That's a good idea. But that's not a pattern. That's a reaction. The pattern of our faith, the pattern of life, the rhythm of life is to make our way through the crowd to touch the divine. To make our way through all the stuff and the turmoil, to have those moments that we are truly accepted. To make our way through the negativity and even the hatred that this world shows, and have those moments every day that we are truly loved. That's what the Christian life is. That's the pattern of life and pattern of faith for a believer, that we can be in the very presence of the divine. So don't let those stuff distract you. Don't get in the habit of just praying when you're at church or praying when you're in trouble. You can do that, should do that. But make it a pattern of every day in your life that you have a time that you are just in the divine, in the presence of God. And if you don't know what to say, just sit quietly. Why do you need to say anything in the presence of Almighty God? That's plenty. And if you have something to say, the good news is God's listening. This is what we are taught in Scripture. This is what we have an opportunity to do. Don't pass up an opportunity to have on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we do here. Every week we pray together. We pray together knowing that God is right here in our presence, that we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, and that it doesn't matter what struggles we have, what failures we have, the grace of Jesus Christ can deal with all of that, that we are in his presence. And so we pray together, just as the Bible has taught us to do. And I will start our prayer. And if you would like to pray aloud, we certainly invite you to do that. And if you can pray in any language that you like, any language that you are comfortable praying, feel free to do that if you want to pray aloud. God loves all people in all languages. Or if you want to not pray aloud and just be silent, that's perfectly fine as well. God hears the quiet prayers of our heart. But the purpose in this moment is to be on earth as it is in heaven. As the people of heaven, the angels of heaven are in the presence of God, we are in the presence of God. May we experience that together. Our Lord, we thank you that we are in your presence. And it's not because we deserve to be here or we've figured out how to be in your presence. You just make yourself available to us. And so we accept that your Holy Spirit is here. We may not understand that. We may not even feel that. But help us to accept that as truth. And to know that you are not a distant God off in heaven somewhere that we might see someday, but you are the holy presence of your Spirit here with us. And so let us, in the midst of all of our needs, all of our fears, all of our anxieties, all of our frustrations and angers, help us just to touch the divine and know in these moments that we are completely loved and accepted. And yes, we are flawed, but we are forgiven. Help us to be in your presence and to know we may not always get what we want, but that being in your presence, praying to you, being with you is effective. It changes things, and it changes us. Accept our prayers, O Lord, as your flawed, very small, fragile children that you love and adore, as we lift our prayers to you.